penetrating and gripping truth, the cell of memory, beating in 100,000 nearly cosmos. Now we can see interior, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
I see the Buddha, I see the Dharma, I see the Sangha. In the past 10 months, we've experienced quite a bit of death in our temple. Two of our dogs and one of our cats died during this period. Also, there have been the deaths of people who we care about very much. And of course, for the last few years, we've also experienced, for a somewhat longer period, we've experienced death too, beginning with the very abrupt death of Reverend Alexis almost 3 years ago now. Personally, I've had it quite an opportunity in recent months to get more first-hand experience of death and dying. So I want to talk a little bit about this just on a very human level, and initially not bringing Buddhist teaching into it at all. Just talking about my own experience of it, and then I relate that to Buddhist teaching a bit. Of course, death is a kind of separation, both for the being that dies and for those who know and love that being. If we love a being who is dying and who then dies, we cannot help but experience grief, which is the feeling we have when we are separated from that which we love. We don't need Buddhism to teach us this. Our own experience teaches us this. It seems as if the more you love someone when they die, the more you grieve. Perhaps I should say, the deeper the feeling of grief that you experience. Yet here, at the very same time, just from my own recent experience, I want to say that while certainly I've experienced a good deal of grief especially in the last 10 months, and some of it quite recent, some of the deepest grief quite recently, what has been uppermost in my mind recently is not the grief, but a sense of the continuity. So I could jump right in now and put this in Buddhist terms, but I'm just going to refrain from doing that and just say that with my head, I don't quite get the nature of this continuity. But there is this quiet sense of continuity, and it doesn't stand against the very, very strong feelings of grief that I've had in recent weeks. Two of the six beings who have died in the last 10 months, with whom I had, in one way or another, a close relationship, that's four animals and two people, but two of them have died in the last few weeks. And yet, right with the grief of this has been this sense of continuity. So again, without using technical terms, let me just say what I think about this continuity. First of all, the continuity for me and for that person. I know in my blood and bones, as Reverend Massey used to say, that death is not a real ending, simply an extinction. That is not what death is. It is a momentous change. We can't help but recognize that when someone we love dies. It is a momentous change. And it is a kind of separation. And yet there is this sense of the continuity. Something goes on for that person, that being that has died. There is continuity. Also, for those of us who are left behind, so to speak, there is continuity. Love doesn't just switch off because that which we love has vanished to our senses, to our physical senses. Fortunately, for most of us, most of the time, the more anguished grief gradually softens. And I believe that meditation and training, Buddhist training and meditation, tremendously help that happen, help the grief not get stuck in some dark and anguished and tormented form. In fact, I have to say that it is not my experience of grief as a monk that it is dark and anguished and tormented, but just that it is grief and that it is coming out of love. I will say that before I became a monk, when my brother died, I have to say that I did experience much more that dark, anguished, tormented aspect, and became very desperate. So I have a bit of a before and an after, before training and after training experience of deep grief. There's continuity in another sense. What comes up for me a lot is, while we're alive, we really need to live. When we die, we need to die. Or when it is time to live, live. When it's time to die, die. This sounds a lot, and I think it really is basically the same thing that Rimaster wrote. She's at the edge of death, the beginning of her great retreat in Third Kensho in 1976. When there is life, there is life. When there is death, there is death. But of course, it's one thing for one person to say it and write it and think it. It's another thing when it comes up for another person. And I think there's both a comfort in it and there's also a teaching in it. Do not try to hold on to the person you love who has died. Do not try to go with them. And I do have to say, and it's really the first time I've ever experienced this, that when my dog Molly died a few weeks ago, I really experienced for the first time that I really, for a short while, really wanted to go with her. I think that speaks to the depth of the karmic connection, a connection which, if it goes into past lives, I have never seen, but certainly, whatever that connection is a very deep connection and a very deep love from the very first time we met. And deep trust. And when she died, I felt for a while like part of me had died with her. And I think that's very common when beings really love deeply. In fact, it's of course a well-known fact that sometimes people who are beings, it's not just people, beings who are so closely connected, die very close to one another. But I don't have a sense that I'm about to die. In fact, recently I have a sense of a renewed life, a renewed purpose for my own life. So in all these ways, there is continuity. And the disruption that is death, insofar as we experience it as a disruption, occurs within a greater context of this continuity. Life goes on. Death occurs within the context of life, which is an ongoing process. And life goes on. Both for the being that has died and for those who are left behind. The forms that life takes may change, but life goes on. There is continuity. And love goes on. There's continuity of love. And I don't need Buddhist teaching to tell me this, although Buddhist teaching does tell me this. And in particular, my master's teaching tells me this. But I don't need Buddhism or my master to tell me this. It's just my own experience. And the wonderful thing about Buddhism for me is that over and over again, and over and over and over again, I find that my own experience confirms what I've been taught. And does not conflict with it. I'm not saying that life goes on in the sense of there's an immortal soul that departs the body and goes on. The Buddha said that he didn't find that to be the case, and I have to say I don't find that to be the case. I don't have any insight and experience into to an immortal soul. If something goes on, and I know that love goes on, and I know these two are not separate. So one can find all of this. I will talk a little bit about Buddhist teaching now. One can find all of this in Buddhist teaching. Dogen wrote a little Dharma talk, gave a little Dharma talk called Life and Death. And it's in there. And it's also in a more expanded form in the wonderful, wonderful teaching of Uji, being, time, or the way I like to think of it, the flow of immaculacy. The flow of immaculacy is how I think of Uji. Being, time, flow, immaculacy. And what we call our life and death are just aspects of this flow that is within us, through us, around us. It is the whole of existence, the whole of being, and encompasses much more than we can perceive with our physical senses, and much more than the scientists can either imagine or detect with their instruments, which are just extensions of the senses. And there is, within this constant flow, which you could say is another name you can give to that continuity I was talking about. Let's just change the word continuity to flow. And here you have Buddhism at its deepest. If you change the word flow, you add the flow to flow, the of immaculacy, flow of immaculacy, there you have the deepest teaching. Shunyata. The immaculacy of nothingness. There's all these words. And all the words come out of our own experience of something that is both the closest thing to our mind and heart, because it makes up our very being, and also the truth of the whole of existence. Something that is intuited deeply intuited, and we call that deep intuition faith. And then is confirmed in experience. We call that confirmation experience understanding and certainty. In the process of living and in the process of dying, which is part of the little part of the process of living, and in death itself, which is also part of the process of life in the true sense, life with a capital L, which embraces both living, dying, life and death, embraces rebirth, embraces the whole of change, the whole of existence. But in that process of dying and in death itself, there can be, just as in life, there can be pain. Physical pain, spiritual anguish. Sometimes the circumstances within which these things happen are very gritty and very just hard to accept. When it is so difficult and hard to accept, then we really get an exercise in faith. we really need to work on looking up within that darkness. And the more we can just be still within and accept what's happening, while doing that quiet work of looking up, the more we find that something does sustain us, that there is a, as it were, a great compassionate hand that is holding us up in the midst of this difficulty and darkness. What we must not do is willfully, deliberately look down. Which is the fundamental non-perceptual act, by the way. All the other breakages of precepts come out of that. So that's what we must refrain from doing. O great victor, I hold on, to injure the Creator I cry. Move, move, my defilement free one. All is defilement, defilement, earth, earth, do, do the worth within my heart. We recite these words so many times. That's what they're saying. In that great time of difficulty, hold fast to that little light of faith within yourself. Look up, not down. And this I promise, anyone who does this, you will find in time, perhaps in that very moment that you do it, you will find that all that has happened that is difficult, ugly, and hard to accept, and so pain, happens within a context of a greater goodness, with a capital G here. I always think of it as a capital G, goodness. A greater goodness. A goodness that is infinite, absolute, unstainable, incorruptible, unborn and undying. Difficult training is not bad training. Difficult training is a great opportunity, an opportunity of a fundamentally spiritual nature. When someone dies who we're close to, we experience something of our own death, of what death is for us personally, not just for someone else. When we accept the death of someone we love, we accept our own death. We lessen our own fear. We increase our own faith and certainty.